Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Today we're starting this new series called The River, and we're going to talk about kind of flowing with God's will for your life. And my guess is that some of you are probably like, yes, thank you very much, because this is exactly what I need. You know, I have these decisions I'm facing, and I want to make the right decisions, and I do think God has this will for my life, but I don't know what it is, and so teach me how to find it. Like, how do I figure that out so that I can know that what I'm doing is what I should be doing? Right? Perhaps you've been asking questions like, am I on the right career track? Or which class should I take? Or should I change jobs? But if I change jobs, that means I'm going to have to move cities. And what if I move to this new city and I don't really like it? Or what if I can't find friends there or a church there that I really like? Or this person I'm dating, is he the right one or is he maybe the wrong one? And so you wonder, how do I know God's will for my life? And for others of you, maybe we should just kind of back the truck up, because you're wondering, does God even have a plan for our lives? I'm not trying to figure out how to figure that out. I'm wondering, does God really even care? Like, does God care about the details of my life? Well, I've got some good news for you. I really believe that these next few weeks are going to be a real encouragement to you as we kind of unfold God's word. And I think what we'll find are some really pretty simple principles for how to know and live out God's will for your life. And I say simple intentionally because maybe discovering and living out God's will shouldn't be that complicated. Maybe it's not like those pictures. You know those pictures and you look into it and you're supposed to like lose focus or like really have good, I never know. And like as you're looking at it, all of a sudden this other picture is like, oh, there's an eagle or what, and you know what I'm talking about? Can any of you see the picture within the picture? I've never been able to see one in my life. And people are like, don't you see it? There's an eagle flying over the United States flag. And I'm like, all I see is a mountain, and I can never see it, and I don't know, do you focus better or lose? I can't figure it out. And some of us feel like that about God's will, right? It's like, you know, it's like I have this relationship with God, and I want to do what God wants me to do, but I don't know what he wants me to do, and I'm trying to focus or lose focus, and I just can't figure it out. But maybe it's not that complicated. Maybe it's not this this picture, this mysterious picture, or this maze that we have to navigate through. Maybe God's will is a whole lot more like a river. And instead of trying to figure it out, maybe it's just something we need to jump into. And then God kind of gets us caught up in his current and we flow with it. Maybe. I think God has this path. And his path is for you to have this better life and really a great adventure with him. And in this series, we're going to try to figure that out. What does that look like? I want to show you this verse that hopefully will encourage you. So it's in a Old Testament book called Jeremiah, and it's in chapter 29. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's absolutely no problem. We put all the verses on the screen, so you'll be able to read those today. If you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free. There's no catch. There's no cost. We just free gift to you. Back at our Velcro bar, there's a stack of Bibles. You can just grab one and keep walking, or if you'd like to know someone and get connected today, there's people back there after the service as well. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14, say this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So this passage starts out in verse 11. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And we need to be really careful about this word prosper. What this is not saying in context, and we'll look at that passage again, I'll explain the context a little bit better, but what this is not saying is that God's plan for anyone who puts their faith in him is to be like stinking, filthy rich. Okay, that's not what this is saying. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've turned on the TV and there's this TV preacher. People will call this a health and wealth gospel. The idea that, you know, anybody who believes in God is supposed to be wealthy. And so maybe you've seen a preacher on TV who says, "The Lord wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to experience prosperity. Some of you have been down. You're down and out. You're down on your luck. You're down trodden. You're down in the gutter. But honey, the Lord wants to lift you up, up and out, up on your luck, up trodden, up out of the gutter. The Lord wants to lift you up and fill your wallets and your purses and your pocketbooks. So open them up wide this morning." And right, you kind of watch it and you're like, really? And you should. Do you like that skill? I got that. So if this doesn't work out for me, I got that career I could try. Probably not. But maybe you've heard that and you're like, really? Is that God's will? Is it for everybody to be wealthy? And no, that's not what this means, okay? God's will isn't for everyone to be wealthy. In fact, Jesus followed God's will and he was pretty much homeless, okay? But here's the encouraging part. God's will is for our welfare. It is for our best. You know, that verse said that he has a hope for you and a future for you. And that's really good news. You know, there are so many people who feel like they don't have much hope and they don't have much of a future. And that's why I'm really excited about this series, because I think what's going to unfold as we look at God's word is this idea that, man, God does have a plan for my life. I have not screwed it up. And God's plan is for my best, it's for my welfare, it's to give me hope and a future, that God really has this adventure he wants to take me on. He's got an exciting plan for my life if I just kind of jump into it, all right? Now check this out. Here's what I'm not going to do in this series, okay? I want to warn you. And I need to tell you this up front, because some of you right now are thinking, this is great. Like, I've been coming here for a while, and I now feel like I have this relationship with God that we've talked about. In fact, we just talked about it in our last series. And so, the thing I'm wanting, though, is to know God's will. Like, what am I supposed to do? So thank you, because that's what I need, is answers to some of the questions I'm facing. And so I just want to tell you up front, I want to guarantee you that I will not in this series, nowhere in this series, will I be able to tell you whether to break up with her or to marry him. Okay, I'm not going to be able to tell you whether you should move out of that line of work and start this line of work. I'm not going to tell you whether you should take the promotion or turn it down. I'm not going to tell you whether you should leave Vegas and move to California. And right now, someone in this room is going, California, he said California. That's a sign right there. Because we've been thinking about moving to California. Why else did he say California? He just said California. That must be a sign. We need to move to California. No. Okay. That's not it. And I'm not going to give you signs. I'm not going to answer specific questions you have. And so you may end the series going, man, it was really good, but I'm a little frustrated because I still have my questions. I'm still wondering, you know, and I never got my question answered. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to be able to answer your specific questions. But here's what I believe. Now, I believe that throughout this series, if you stay committed to it and you come for these next few weeks, that we're really going to be able to get to a place where we could go to sleep every night knowing, man, I lived in God's will today. I lived in God's will today, okay? And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at four foundational principles for understanding and living out God's will, okay? This is really kind of the foundation that we'll build from here in the next few weeks. And so let's just jump in with principle number one, okay? Principle number one is that God's will is more about who we are than about what we do. God's will is way more about who we are than it is about what we do. God's will, as it relates to your life, is primarily, like, God's major focus is about who you are as a person. I mean, let's just be honest. When we start to think about God's will, if you're someone who believes in God and maybe you have a relationship with God, when we think about God's will, we start thinking about options and different roads we can take, right? And is it here or there? Is it with these people or is it with those people? And we start thinking about God's agenda and this plan, this blueprint for my life, and how do I know and get with the blueprint, right? And so immediately when we start talking about God's will, it's like, okay, God, you know, what do I do? Decision time, this road or that road? And what I think God's trying to say to each of us is, well, actually, My will begins with you. My primary will in your life, my big focus in your life is not about where you go or what you do. It's about who you are. It's about who you are. Think of it this way. So let's say that God miraculously intervened in your question today. Okay, this morning you're sitting here, you have this big question on your mind about your job or your marriage or your, you know, this whatever it is. Let's say that God answered it this morning. Okay? And so you walked out of here and you knew exactly where you're supposed to go and exactly what you're supposed to do. Okay? And so you go to that place and you start doing that thing. But you never really allowed God to shape and mold you into the kind of person that he wants you to be, the kind of person that you really need to be. Well, then you could be in the right place doing the right thing and still be outside of God's will because you're not the right person. Right? And so you're not actually living out the will of God, though you got the answer to your question. Right? Listen, you could go home today and take out a Bible and you could say, I'm going to study like every time the Bible talks about God's will. Does it talk about that? Yeah, it does. All right, I want to look at all those verses. And here's what you'd find. In just about every single verse, what you'd find is that God's will is about who you are, not where you go or what you do. And we're going to look at a few of those today. So the first one we're going to look at is in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And like I said, we'll put all the verses on the screen today. And so check this out. The Bible says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, because God loves you, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so it says, here's what real worship looks like. Here's what the will of God looks like in your life. And God's saying to each of us, would you like to know my will? And I know some of us are like, absolutely, bring it on. That's what I've been wondering. What am I supposed to do? And God says, my will is for you to trust me and to understand my love for you in a way that you jump into me, in a way that you jump into this river, in a way that you just completely offer yourself to me and say, God, I just want to live my life for you. And if you do that, if you just throw yourself into this relationship with me, into my love, then man, your life will be changed. You'll start to experience my will. And you could go to sleep every night knowing I'm living at the center of God's will. And I realize some of you are like, I already know that. I know that. What I need to know is, do I quit my job or not? That's my question. What I need to know is it bachelor one, bachelor two, or bachelor three? Answer my question, right? Because that is what we want to know, right? But discovering God's will begins by saying, God, first and foremost, I want you to make me into the kind of person that I need to be. So that whether I work at this place or that place, I want to be the man or the woman who is sitting at that desk to be the kind of person that I need to be. Okay? I love what the Bible says in a book called 1 Thessalonians. Isn't that cool? There's a book in the Bible called Thessalonians. You guys want to say it? It's kind of fun. Thessalonians. I have to warn you today, I've been sick all week. I'm on cold medicine. I'm a little loopy. There were several times yesterday where I was sitting in my living room with my family talking, and while I was talking said, oh, I think I'm falling asleep. And so if I get a little loopy today, bear with me. But right now, with this cold medicine, Thessalonians sounds really fun to me. So 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 are great. And it's, again, here's God's will. Ready? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so, what's God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? Here it is. That you would get to a place that because of your relationship with him, you'd be able to rejoice always. No matter what's going on, I can find joy because, man, I've got God. And that you would get to a place where you are a person of prayer. Not like, I pray before I eat a meal or before I go to sleep, but like throughout your day, you just have this kind of constant contact with God. It's like, I just do my day with God. I pray continually. I just depend on him all day long. and that no matter what happens in your life, you'd be able to give thanks to God, that you'd have such a trusting God that it's like no matter what happens, I just feel like I can trust him. I'm just thanking him that he's involved and he's got me. That's God's will for your life. See, it's much more about who we are than about where we go or what we do. I just think that God would rather be like a sculptor in our lives than a traffic cop. You know what I mean? But what we want is a traffic cop. We want God kind of stand at the intersections, and when I get there and I don't know what to do, he goes, woo, you know, and whistles and blows it, and we're like, okay, I go right, and I go left. That's what we want, but God wants to be like a sculptor in our lives, that he kind of gets us on his pottery wheel, and he just starts to mold us and shape us, and we become the kind of people we really long to become, the kind of people that he made us to become. You know what I mean? Like, he'd rather be like a creative artist who's working in our lives than be the person at the information booth at the mall, you know, who you only go up to if you're lost and you don't really care about that person. But when you're like, I really want one of those, you know, cinnamon pretzels, you go up and you're like, hey, where's the pretzel place? And they're like, down that hall, right? That's what we want God to be, is somebody who just answers our questions. And God's like, no, I want to be active in your life and I want to make you into the kind of person. My will is for you to become the kind of person who you need to be. And this is a huge principle, okay? So principle number one. Principle number two, God longs for us to desire him more than his answers in our lives. God longs for us to desire him more than his answers in our lives. See, here's the deal. When I'm searching for some direction, when I reach one of those intersections in my life and I'm like, I don't know what to do, it seems like all of my prayers are like this. God, I need to know, I need to know, I need to know, I need to know. God, I really need to know, I need to know, I need to know, right? I need this. And I wonder if sometimes God just wants to ask us, do you want me or do you want my answers? I mean, is your passion for my person or is your passion for my plan? If I told you the answer to your question, would you just kind of take it and run with it and I wouldn't see you for another like 3 months until you've faced another intersection and have a new dilemma? Listen, if that's true in your life, if you're at a place where you're like, man, what I'm really passionate about is God to give me direction, then I think God won't give you direction. I think God will withhold the answers that you're seeking. Do you know why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And his desire is to have an actual relationship with you. And so if the only thing that turns you to God and makes you seek God is having this unanswered question in your life, I think God won't answer it. Because if he did, he knows that he's not going to see you again for 3 months until you face another intersection, right? And he wants to be with you. And so I think he's going to be like, you know what, if this is the only way I can get your attention, the only way I can get you to rely on me and really relate with me, then I'm just going to keep that question at play until we get to a place where you're really seeking me, not my answers. Then I can give you answers. Does that make sense? There's this guy in the Old Testament, his name is David. If you grew up in church, remember he faced off Goliath and ended up becoming a king. Well, there's a book in the Old Testament called the Psalms, and Psalms are like poems and songs that people, including David, wrote to God. And there's this poem, or more like a prayer, really, that David wrote in Psalm 27, verse 4. It starts out like this, One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek. Stop reading. What do you think comes next? He says, there's just one thing I want from God. What do you think comes next? Because for most of us, it'd be like the answer to the question, right? Like, what do I do now? But check out what he says. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This is, I just have one request. God, I want to know you. I want to like be with you in a way that I can know you. That's all I want. And here's what I'm discovering. I'm discovering that it's when you have that kind of intimacy with God, when you really live in a close relationship with God. See, God's not just somebody you believe in, but like it's like we live in this daily relationship. It's out of that closeness, out of that intimacy, that God's answers start to flow into your life. And so it's like when I seek God's answers, I don't come up with much of anything, but when I seek God. I get God and his answers. And let me just assure you, God does want to guide you, okay? In case you're kind of like listening to me going, so God doesn't care about answering my questions. He does. He wants to guide you. And so let's look at another psalm. Here God is kind of speaking, and he says this in Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. God says, I will instruct you. Okay, he's making a promise. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Yay, right? Good. He says, I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. So I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. And so God says, listen, I'm not uninterested. Okay, I'm completely interested in your life, in the way you should go, in even the most, you know, minute details of your life. I'm completely interested. You know, if you have this picture that God's up in, you know, the heavens and he's kind of running the earth and he doesn't have time for my little, no. The Bible says that God is a personal and loving father who cares intimately about all the intimate details of your life. And he says, and I'm going to guide you. And in this passage, it's almost like he's answering this question of like, well, how? You know, how, God, do you guide me? And God says this. He says, the way I pull this whole guidance thing off is I guide you with my loving eye on you. He's saying, I'm going to guide you, not necessarily with like these big, bold answers, not necessarily, I won't necessarily speak from the heavens. I'm going to guide you with my eyes. And you know exactly how this works. Because like, have you ever gone to like a party with a friend or your spouse or something, and like, you're not so sure about this party, and so you're like, hey, let's kind of like go and mingle and talk to people, but like, keep looking at me because I'm going to give you the look and we're going to leave, you know, when I'm ready to leave. And so you're like talking to people, but you keep kind of looking over. And finally, your friend or whoever it is kind of goes like, because you're one of these with their eyes, and you're like, time to go. You know, they're like ready to leave. And you leave. And they didn't yell across the room, hey, I am bored out of my mind and I don't like these people. Let's get out of here. No, they just gave you this look, right, just with their eyes. And you knew exactly what it meant because you're that close. Like, you have that kind of relationship, right? And God says, that's how it works. It's not necessarily these bold answers from the sky. It's not you have to read the signs and, well, this billboard said. No, he's like, man, let's get so close that I can guide you with my eyes. That you just know, that like it's almost like this nudge inside that you're, you know, you're going in a direction and you go, oh, that's not the direction I was supposed to be going. You just feel it. It's like God's eyes are guiding you. But listen, for God's eyes to guide us, we need to be looking at his face, right? I mean, it seems like what we're often looking for from God are answers, but rarely do we just come to God and say, God, like David did, I just want to know you. I want to love you more. I want to know more about you so I can love you more. And so, God, I'm happy just to sit here with you. I'm happy just to pray and just love you. And you know what? I have questions, and I feel like I need answers, but I'm willing to just put that aside because right now I just want to know you. And the cool thing is, as we take that approach to God, that's when his answers start to flow into our lives. And I think God is just longing to find the man or the woman who will seek him more than they seek his answers. Principle number three. Principle number three is this. Our role in this whole God's will thing is not so much for us to find God's will as it is to follow God's will. Our role is not so much to find God's will as it is to follow God's will. You know, it's interesting. As a pastor, I'll have people come up to me in the lobby or during the week and say, hey, Vince, man, would you pray for me? I'm really trying to find God's will for my life. And the question I always wonder, and I never say this, but the question I always wonder is, did God misplace it? Did he lose it? Where's his will? Oh, man, you know, is he up there going, I know it was around here somewhere. Where did I put it? You know, I don't think so, right? You know, it's interesting, that verse we looked at in Jeremiah, God says, I know the plans I have for you. He's like, I got a will, and I know it. You may not know it, but I know it. And our role is to follow it. I love there's a story that happens in the book called Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus has been, he's about 30 years old. He's kind of been around for a while, but he's just recently been saying, hey, I happen to be the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. And he's been doing some things to prove it. People are starting to realize who he is. And there's this one day he's walking along a lake and there's these fishermen. And let's check out what happens. We'll put it on the screen for you. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. It's kind of a play on words there. At once, they left their nets and followed him. These guys didn't have a clue where they were going. He didn't say, hey, follow me, and here's the plan. Okay, here's the agenda. He just said, follow me. But they had gotten to the point where they knew him well enough and they respected him enough to go, I just think I can trust him. And wherever he goes, I'm going to assume that's the place I need to be. And so they followed. And I'll tell you this, for me, a whole lot of stress was able to kind of leave my life and get off my shoulders when it became enough for me to know that there is a plan for my life. And I know where it is. It's not in my house. It's not in my computer. It's not in my head. It's in the hands of God. You know? And to just feel like, you know what? I don't need to necessarily know what it is. Because I know that God knows what it is. And my role isn't to figure it out. My role is to follow it day by day. As I live in this relationship with God, as I listen for his voice, and I don't mean audible voice. The Bible talks about God having this still, small voice. It's like he speaks inside of us. He nudges us. As I learn his word and read the Bible consistently to start to understand what does God's voice sound like. As I look at God's face and his eyes are kind of on me, guiding me, my role is to follow. And that's your role, to just follow. Man, so often, I think, you know, Christians can get stressed out because it's like, you know, what am I supposed to do, and what's next, and what does God have for me, and where am I going to be in 5 years, and you know, I think God's asking us the same question that Jesus asked those two brothers on the Sea of Galilee. Follow me. I didn't ask you to find my will. I asked you to follow my will. And hopefully, you can kind of right now exhale and go, that relieves a lot of stress, right? Like if my role isn't to figure it out and decipher and get out this magnifying glass and figure out what does God want for me and try to read these signs, if my goal isn't that, my goal is just to relax and follow God's will for me on a day-by-day basis and ask God, man, God, would you help me to be close enough to you that whatever your will is, I'll have the courage and the wisdom to follow it. To know, God, that you have a better plan for my life than I do. And so whatever it is, whenever I start going, I think God's presented me this opportunity. I think God's trying to lead me in this direction. That I will just trust you and follow your plan because you have a great plan for my life. And that's principle number four. Principle number four is that God really does have a great plan for your life. God does. He has an incredible plan for your life. And my guess is that maybe some of you have given up on that. You know, maybe some of you have just given up on the idea of God altogether, but others of you, maybe it's like, I believe in God. I just feel like I have made so many bad choices along the way that God probably did have this plan for my life, but I've gotten so far off the map. But by my bad choices, that I don't think I could ever experience God's plan because I blew it. I screwed it up. And that is not true. So that passage we looked at in Jeremiah, here's the situation here. God's people, the group of people who believed in God and said, we'll follow you, God, they had completely blown it. They had gotten off track. They had kind of left God aside and said, you know what, we can live on our own. We can do this without God. And their choices get them to a really bad place. And to those people, in that situation, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And God's telling them, as bad as it looks for you, as much as you have given up on me, I haven't given up on you. You've neglected me. I have not neglected you. And I'm still trying to work out this plan. And it's still alive and at play in your life if you just jump into it. That's really good news if you feel like maybe God's given up on you. He has not. I think the next few verses that we looked at already, we're going to look at again, are critical because God is speaking to people who are like, man, I'm not on God's plan for my life. Okay, and listen carefully again or read what God says to them. He says, then you will call on me, you'll call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So these people had disobeyed God, and God let them experience the natural consequences of their decisions. And the natural consequence of their decisions is that they ended up in exile, in this bad situation. And God says, listen, we can totally get your plan back in place if you do this. If you seek me. And if you seek me, you'll find me. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, if you seek my answers. He didn't say, if you seek my plan. He didn't say, you're off the plan. And so if you start figuring out, what is the plan? And how do we get back? No. Don't seek the plan. Seek me. God says it. And he says, I'm promising you this. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. It's as if God was saying to them, listen, I know you're scared, and I know you feel like you've blown it, and I know you're wondering what's next, but you don't need answers. You don't need my answers. You need me. Okay? And that's why you got yourself in this situation in the first place, is because you didn't think you need me. And so if you would just realize that you need me and you would seek me, you would find me and the plan would flow. And so seek me. Seek me and I will guide you into this plan I have for your life to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And I'm going to lead you into this adventure that you can really enjoy. You know, that song that Otis Redding made famous that our band opened up with today, it says, I am going to sing. With my cold. But it says, now I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide. I can't sing. Roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Not too bad. I think we have a real strong whistler somewhere over here who's supporting the rest of us. Not too bad. But, you know, I think that that song nails it. I think that's exactly where many of us are at when it comes to this whole discovering and living out God's will for our life. I think God's will really is a lot like a river. It is. God's will has been flowing through history. It's been flowing through your life, whether you recognize it or not. Okay? It's this river, and what we need to do is jump into it and then flow with it. But here's the problem. Many of us, where we're at with God, is we kind of show up here on a Sunday morning, or maybe some of you come on Monday nights to Verb, and we kind of come to church, and we kind of sit on the dock, and we splash our feet in the water a little bit, and oh, this feels good, and we say things like, God, you know, it's good to be here, and I'm glad I know you and believe in you, and my life's pretty good. My life is pretty good. And so, God, I do have this one thing I could use some help with. You know, maybe my marriage needs help. Or I need a little bit of direction, God. Like the whole career thing, I'm a little confused right now. I need a little bit of direction. But God, I don't want to jump into the river. I just kind of want to sit on the dock and splash my feet a little bit. And I feel good about this, but I don't want to jump in the river. I want to retain control. I don't want to, you know, surrender my life to you or to your will because I don't know. I just feel more comfortable with me being the leader of my life. And so I'm just going to kind of sit on the dock. And would you just give me a little bit of direction, a little bit of help? And God says, no. No. Get off the dock. Get off the dock and jump into the river and surrender your life to me. Surrender your life to the current of my will. And I promise you that I have a better life for you than you have for you. I promise you that I will prosper you. I promise you that I will give you hope and a future. But you have to jump in. And I don't know about you, but I really don't want to sit around and look at the river anymore. I want to jump into it, and I really want you to jump into it with me. Like, I want us all to jump in, and so, man, let's kind of lay these four principles as our foundation. And these next 3 weeks, we're going to learn some other principles, and man, let's jump into them. Let's jump into the river of God's will and start to experience this life that he has for us and this adventure he promises us. So are you ready? Are you willing? And let's jump in. Let's jump in. Let's pray. God, it's such an amazing idea that the God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of it all, who is watching wars happen and all watching the economy and unrest in countries, cares intimately about my little life and my little concerns. Wow. And God, my prayer is that we would get to a place where we know you, we trust you, we love you, and we jump in. That we realize that me leading my life probably hasn't gotten me exactly where I want to be. And that there is a God who knows more, knows better, knows me better, and has a plan for my life, and I just need to jump into it. That God, it's when we make you our lives, when we jump in and make you everything, that your answers start to flow and your direction starts to come, and we can really start living out the adventure you have for us. God, would you help us to stop sitting on the dock and to jump in? I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.